Exodus 40 and verse 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Everyone say, first day of the first month. What will you do? You shall set up the tabernacle of the meeting. And it came to pass in the first day of the first month of the second year of the month that the tabernacle was raised up. Now please listen. But notice over here that on the first month, everyone say on the first month. The first month the tabernacle was set up. So you see, church, God told Moses that in the first day of the first month, set up the tabernacle. And that's exactly what he did. After 1 year, he created the tabernacle. And on the first day of the first month, that's the new year. Everyone say the new year. Yeah, then rather that day, he set up the tabernacle. I want you to understand this. Moses could have set up the tabernacle on any day, in any month. But God told him to do this as a specific thing. Church, if God said this, then there has to be something to it. Look at somebody and say, there is a meaning in that. This message is coming to you for a reason. God wants to set up a tabernacle in your life in the name of Jesus. Now please listen. The tabernacle, write it down. The second point, write this down. Write this down. The second thing, what is the tabernacle? The tabernacle was a place where God met man. See, notice it says in Exodus 40 verse 1, it says the tent of meeting. Everyone say the tent of meeting. The second point, write this down. The tent of meeting. Say it loudly. The tent of meeting. It was a place where God would come and meet man. It was a place where heaven kissed the earth. Come on, hallelujah. It was a place from where God would minister his glory to the people. And out of that presence of God, the Israelites, the children of Israel, would always be victorious. If you want to be victorious, then the tabernacle has to be set up in your life. Look at somebody and say, the tabernacle has to be set up in your life. You are operating in your strength. You're operating in your power. Oh, I know this one and I know that one and that fellow, my uncle from Canada will do the job and nothing happens. You're depressed, sick and worried. There has to be a greater power that works on your behalf. How many of you say an amen to that? There's something that must move in your life. Otherwise, you will only have a story. You will only be a person with a story. You'll only be a person with a philosophy. God's power must work in your life. Please listen to this. I say this with a lot of humility. You know, in the world, when businessmen have to launch a deal, in the world, I'm not talking about Christians, in the world, when businessmen have to launch a deal, they'll not just go with papers and some, you know, they'll not just go with papers and say, hello, sir, I am so and so, I've got this company, can you give me the deal? No. They will try everything possible. Hello. They'll not just go with papers. They'll try to bribe somebody. Come on, hello. Yes. And they'll not stop over there. They'll do something supernatural. Hello. Look at my hands. They'll twist and turn. They'll engage something and make sure. And what about you? You, what do? You just go and say, sir, I have done this client. I've done that client. And they look at you and say, okay, come tomorrow. And you go tomorrow. They call you next year. And nothing happens. That's why Christian businessmen, people are failures. You see, demons are working for them. Who is working for you? You think you have your MBA, you think you have your Oxford and your Bulford. Nothing happens with that. Nothing. There are people with 1 kilo of certificates. Nothing happens for you. But the Israelites, they were the least. Everyone say the least. You see, out of the tabernacle, they came against seven nations. The Hittites, the Hivites, the Canaanites and all the people. And everyone lost. Said everyone, the presence of God. Said everyone. It gave them direction. It gave them victory. It gave them everything. The second point, please understand this. You have to understand the significance of the tabernacle in your life. I was talking to a person from Bandra. Listen to this. I was talking to this person from Bandra in Mumbai. She came with me. She came to my service with a big file. I said, what is this? She said, I've got 7 properties. I said, wow. I said, you must have surely come in a Bentley or something. Says, no, I came in the rickshaw, auto rickshaw. I said, seven properties. And I said, where are the properties? He says, in Bandra, near Leelavati Hospital. I said, you must be a multi-millionaire. He says, I'm staying in somebody's house. I said, wait, you got seven properties and you're staying in somebody's house on handouts? This is the life of many Christians. You see, church, you've got it, but you're not enjoying it because you have no power to pull it and snatch it from the mouth of the enemy. Hello, are you listening right now? Today, if you listen to my words, you will not be a person who's living on handouts. Le tu ele patso le, you'll take 1,000. No, sir, you will be victorious in Jesus' name. Today, you have to engage the power of the tabernacle. Everyone say the power of the tabernacle. Come on, talk to me loudly. The power of the tabernacle. Are you listening right now? Look at somebody and say, the power of the tabernacle. So let's revise. The first thing, God told Moses to set it up in the first month. Everyone say the first month. He says, the very year you begin, you have to set it up. The second thing I told you, the tabernacle was a tent of meeting. It was a place where God met man. It was a place where heaven connected with earth. Are you with me right now? And I told you the third point, that out of the tabernacle, there was provision, there was deliverance, and there was victory. Somebody shout hallelujah right now. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Now you will say, Pastor Mike, what is the tabernacle? How does it apply to my life? Listen to me. Go with me to the book of Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. If you are there, say yes. All right, here we go. Do you not know? Everyone said, do you not know? That means there are people who did not know. You see, in the Old Testament, a tabernacle was a place. It was there. He says, do you not know your body is the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Holy Spirit? Touch your body and say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Who is in you, whom you have received from God, and you're not your own? Please listen to this carefully now. So the first tabernacle is your body. Write it down. The first tabernacle is what? Say, my body. Come on, everybody say, my body. Whose body? My body. Your body. Everyone say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, because the body, now how this body became the temple of the Holy Spirit? It says over here, whom you have received from God, you are not your own. Everyone say, you are not your own. Meaning, this body was purchased, was sanctified because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Everyone say, sacrifice of Jesus. I want you to understand this. So Jesus shed his blood, you know, he paid the price, and because of that, by grace, your body is sanctified. Everyone say, your body is sanctified. Now your body does not belong to you. Your body does not belong to you. That's why you cannot put anything in your body. You can't put that Uncle Johnny in your body. Who's Uncle Johnny? How many of you are listening right now? Somebody saying, puss, 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 Uncle Johnny. Praise the Lord. Are you listening right now? You can't put that drugs into your body. You can't inject smoke into your body or drugs into your body. You can't take any nonsense because my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I have a good amen, somebody? Amen. Now, when you treat your body as a temple, please listen to me. The Holy Spirit takes residence, not only takes residence in your body, he starts manifesting through you. Everyone say, manifesting through you. Now, what do you mean by that? You may look like an ordinary woman. You may look like an ordinary man. No problem. But when you lay hands on your children, you know what they will say? Mama, your hand smells a little like bhaji. Come on now, all the mothers. Mama, your hand smells a little like bhaji. You know, vegetables. Bhaji is vegetables. Translation. Yeah, okay. But mama, when you lay hands, it's like as if God blessed me. Who wants a mama only with those big nails? I want a mama, even if her hand smells like fish or whatever, when she blesses, God must bless me. Amen. See, already the men are clapping. Hello. I want a mama like that. I don't want a mama who's only got nails, those fake nails. Nothing wrong with them. You have the money, you can put it. You can make it this long also. You as a father, You may not be a, you know, with the chest where you can squeeze a mango between your chest and all that stuff. But when you lay your hands on your son as he's going out for his interview, you know what he will say? My dada, he's not a perfect man, but when my dada blesses me, it's like God backing me up. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. I'd rather have a father like that. Who wants a six-pack and a water backpack, you know? No. I want a father. I want a father who can back me up. Father, Dada, I got this interview. Can you back me up? Sure, son, go. I'm backing you up. Because now you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I have a good amen, somebody? I want to challenge all the men over here. I want to challenge all the mothers over here. There was a great man who was used. I was in the UK recently. He was, you know, was a great man who was used mightily to touch the land of UK. And our guide over there, she was a pastor in that church. And I said, tell me something about his mother. I always like to know about the mothers. He says, Pastor, you hit the sweet spot. He said, what do you mean? He says, this man, he had four brothers. In fact, they had a big family. And his mother was very poor. But he says, every night, this mother would come and lay hands on her children. And she would say, I bless my children in the name of Jesus. May my children rise to high positions. And that man of God writes in his biography, he says, we would pretend to sleep. And we would keep one eye open and we would tell, there comes mama. After she has done her work, now she will lay hands on us. And every day he said, my mama every day would come and lay her hands, worn out hands, bleeding hands, because she was a seamstress. She would lay her hands on those children. And do you know, some of them became mighty preachers. Some of them became lawyers. Some of them became teachers, principals. And they said one thing, my mama carried the presence of God in our body. Can we give Jesus a shout of praise? Hallelujah. I want you to be like that. Lift your hands and say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Come on, say that louder if you can. Louder than your neighbor. I believe in dressing well. I believe in, you know, looking good and all the shusha and a hoo-ha and all that. I believe. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But your body needs something more than just these clothes that change every week. Fast fashion, God bless you, sir. You need much more than fast fashion. You need God who never goes out of fashion. Are you with me, church? I want to challenge you this evening. I want to challenge you this evening. Say it, everyone. Lord, make my body your temple. You cannot consume just anything on the movies. You just cannot consume, you know, Netflix. That's why you are on the net. Hello, are you with me right now? You just can't see any crap. You just can't see any rot. Because your eyes can see in the realm of the spirit. One young boy in the kids ministry, he came and said, Pastor, how do you see all this? I said, God peeps through my eyes. Oh, you missed it. Pastor, how do you know this? How do you get the names and things? I said, God peeps through my eyes. Really? Yes. If God stays inside of you, He peeps through your eyes. Can I prophesy? If you really receive this message, God will speak to you in a dream that will end your labor of 20 years. Receive, somebody receive in the name of Jesus. Solutions, lift your hands. Solutions, come to them right now in Jesus' name. Begin to pray right now. Begin to pray right now in the name of Jesus. So the first thing, say to everyone, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Today, make it a decision. You know, I was in Mapsa in Goa. There's a place called Mapsa in Goa. How many of you know it? Oh, glory. Okay. Everybody knows Goa. And there was this lady, I don't want to mention, okay, I say this respectfully, who came in the Mapsa service and the lights had gone off, and still, of course, God moves, that's another story. She came on the stage and says, Pastor Mike, she said, I had a lump in my breast. And the doctor said that you will have to take off your breast. She says, in my line of profession, how many of you understand? He says, our body means everything. I said, excuse me. She says, yes, Pastor. I am what you think you are saying. Hello, are you with me right now? And she was in the service in Mapsa. And she said, can God touch a person like me? can God touch a person like me? And the moment she said that, the power of God came upon her. And she said, God, if you touch me, I will serve you for the rest of my life. She felt her breast. There was no tumor. That day, no lights, no cameras, no AC. She knelt down on that stage and said, I give my life to Lord Jesus Christ. And she was weeping. That's what happens when you dedicate your body to the Lord. Will you do that? Will you throw off that smoking stuff? Will you throw off that all that stuff outside the window, outside into the trash? And you say, Lord, now onwards, my body is your temple. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and begin to pray. Lift your hands and begin to pray. Raise both your hands. And as you say that, may the Lord begin to heal you right now in the name of Jesus. As you dedicate your body, that asthma is going to move out. Something in your body is about to change in Jesus' name. I could go on telling you testimonies after testimonies. I'm telling you, church, there was a lady in our 31st service. Her left eye was blind. Her left eye was totally blind. She says, Malakai disunati etoto. How many of you understand Marathi? God bless you. She said, I could not see anything out of my left eye. In the service, the glory of God came, pa! And her eyes opened in Jesus' name. She was crying. She says, I am a poor lady. Why did God do it for me? I said, lady, poor or rich, you gave your body to the Lord. Sir, with humility, I say this. I want to tell the youngsters, don't mess with your body. Don't mess with your body. Your body has been purchased by the Lord. You have to give it to Him. Somebody say, I'm receiving this word. Hallelujah. The second thing, go to Psalm 84, please. Psalm 84. We're going to look at two tabernacles. Psalm 84, verses 1 onwards. I want to show you something. Psalm 84, pull it down. See, what? Look at what David says. How lovely, everyone say, how lovely is what? Is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. How lovely is your tabernacle? The second tabernacle is the house of God. Look at somebody and say, the house of God. Yes, the house of God. It's the tabernacle of God. How lovely is your tabernacle, O God, O Lord of hosts. Next one, please. It says, my soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. In other words, it was not just a feeling. He desired to be in the house of God. Now, let me go further right now. Give me verse 3. He says, even the sparrow. Now, look at it over here. There are two birds over here. Write this down. Two birds. Everyone say two birds. Now, see the comparison. He says, even the sparrow has found a home. What is a sparrow? A sparrow is a very common bird. You know, I don't know about Dubai. I've not seen any sparrows. They are there. We've not seen them. Okay, fine. Close. They are there. Okay. I don't know about you, but in India, there are sparrows. In Israel, there are sparrows. And Jesus spoke about sparrows. He says in the book of Matthew, he said, are not so many sparrows sold for such simple copper coins? Come on, yes or no? A sparrow is a non-influential man, an ordinary man. He says, even the sparrow has found a home. In other words, even the man who is broken, the man who is poor, no influence, no, doesn't know anybody, a poor man, that person always finds God's home as a home. Hallelujah. My sister is sitting over here, but before she was born, we were two brothers and we were very naughty. My mama, listen to me, we come from a very poor family. Okay, God bless, they gave us a good education. Listen to this. My mother, in those days, there were no malls like you have in Dubai. You throw a coin and it hits a mall. There's so many malls in Dubai. It's all lights and glitz. But we were poor. So my mama could not take us anywhere. So where she would take us? To church. Hello? She would give us those grams and she would give us that puff rice, kurmura. She would give it to us. We both children used to sit. Both my brothers, I and me, used to sit over there. The man of God is preaching the sermon. We used to hear it, sing the songs, and come home. The poor man, the sparrow, has found a home. Church, that was our life. And thank God for that, because it was a foundation. It was a foundation. Where are you going? Every day, Sunday church, Monday church, Tuesday church, Thursday church, Saturday church. The sparrow. Don't look at somebody. Now is the time to look at yourself and say, I'm the sparrow. So we had nowhere to go. And the only place we could go is the church, the house of God. Everyone say, the tabernacle of God. Yes. That's why, you know, when I saw that gentleman with his two babies, I remembered my mama. She's with the Lord now. She's with the Lord. It's not easy to bring your children. God bless you. It's not easy to bring your children to the house of God. They cry and you feel embarrassed. But thank God you brought your children to the house of God. Everyone say, the sparrow has found a home. Because the sparrow now understands that if I have to find rest, you know what is home? You can go to America, you can go to UK, you can go to this and that and Australia and all. But home is always home. If you had your way and you could say, okay, I'll give you all the money. You know what? You would leave this place and go to your... Because that's where you are comfortable. Your home is your home. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Some of you already weeping. A home is a home. You see, church, ghar ghar hota hai. Say it, everyone. The sparrow has a home. And now in the next verse, it says the swallow, a nest for herself. Now, who's the swallow? A swallow is a bird that always, you know, it's like a very elegant bird, and it just flies here and there and here and there. He's like that bird is like the rich man. The rich man comes to the house of God, you know. Now, please don't get offended at me, okay? The rich man, let me check my diary today, you know. Today's what? Saturday. Oh, I have to go to the mall to meet Paul, you know, whatever. and he or she comes only when it is convenient. Look at somebody and say, when it's convenient. Where are they having the service? Oh, they're having the service at, what's that place over there? Oh, so much of traffic. I can't go, you know. But that same man will drive 10 times around to meet a client. He's like the swallow. But sometimes even the swallow needs to be in the house of God. You see, I've known youngsters. I know pilots. They come to a meeting and I tell them something. I've got pilots. I've got doctors. I've got engineers. I've got, you name it who. We have corporators. We have politicians. The swallow, even that person, that bird needs a place of rest. Who are you? Are you a sparrow? Are you a swallow? Who comes to the house of God only on Christmas with your little booties, nice booties, with your bow, red bow, like a reindeer, you know? You come only for on those days, church, the house of God. Everyone say the house of God. Can I tell you something, church? In 2024, if there is a word that you need to listen to, if you want to be successful, then you need to be connected to the house of God. Look at somebody and say, be connected to the house of God. Look at your other neighbor. Say, be connected to the house of God. Because that's where the anointing will come upon you. That's where the glory of God will come upon you. You may not shake, you may not fall, but something has broken in your life of the devil. Hallelujah. That's why you need to be connected to the house of God. Praise the Lord. The secret of David was, he went through so many battles. He never writes, I was taking rest, nursing my wounds, which the Philistines hit me. No, sir. He was connected to the house of God. Never he was wounded also. I prophesy this in 2024. As you are connected to the house of God, may you see victory upon victory in the name of Jesus. Lift your hand and shout your biggest amen or your hallelujah right now. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this? You are going to see your greatest victories. Amen. Pastor, how? How? Can I tell you one more thing? Coming to the house of God is never going to be easy. That she may lay her young. In other words, a family starts in the church. Her family starts in the church. So you see, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Watch this. Please listen. I want to tell you a secret which the enemy always tries to mess up people. You can go to the discotheque. You can go to the movie theaters. You can go everywhere. But when it comes to the house of God, there will always be a struggle. How many of you have sensed that? When you are about to come to church, when you are about to come for a service like this, something will happen. As if the enemy does not want you to be in the place of anointing. Look at somebody and say, I'll fight it in Jesus' name. Say, any power hindering me from being connected to the house of God, be cut off in Jesus' name. Begin to pray that prayer point right now in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray right now. Begin to pray. I said, begin to pray. Who they? That's you. That's me. They that honor me, I will honor them. Say the seed of honor. Excuse me. Say it, everyone. The seed of honor will bring the harvest of honor. Say it again. The seed of honor will bring the harvest of honor. They that honor me, that's your seed. That's your seed. You're coming with your children. That lady, that man, that young man over there, coming with two babies. Look at her, how she's sitting. There's two babies. You've come. It's not easy for you. Some of you, it's taken a lot of sacrifice to come, and I appreciate that. They that honor me, you came not to honor me. You came here to honor the presence of God. Amen. God says, I will honor you. May that honor of the Lord come upon your life. Church, it will happen in Jesus' name. It will happen in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Many years back, you know, we had a small place where we used to have our services. Listen to this. And that day, it was raining so badly in Mumbai, India. It was raining very heavily. And I told my wife, Anita, you know, we had a very small congregation, like 40 people. Not even 40 people. And I told Anita, today nobody will come. Just let me relax. Let me pray at home. Let me be a little extra spiritual. I'll pray in tongues. And she said, no, you need to go. You know how men are. You shut up. You don't know anything. I know. And something told me, go. And when I went over there, I opened the hall. There was a man standing over there. I said, who are you? He says, I'm waiting for church to start. I said, what happened to you? He's fully wet. Muck over here. He said, "Main itne pani mein, I came in so much of water because today is a Sunday. I need to be in church. Sir, I tell you the truth. That man was not a Christian by birth. Full muck. That day, I said, sir, ab jaake dholo, go and wash yourself. And I will lead the worship for you, for me, and my wife. There were only 3 people that day. But that day I told the Lord, I said, Lord, this man taught a pastor what it is to honor the house of God. Never neglect the house of God. Look at somebody and say, don't neglect the house of God. If I was in Dubai, I would have taught you the protocol. You know what is the protocol? The protocol is this. You never come late to the house of God. You never come late. You know, there are IAS officers and many people in our church, they come. If you tell them, you know, I'll tell you, brother, listen to this. If you tell them, sir, 10 o'clock, 5 minutes before they are on their seat. I'm telling you, there were commissioners and all. They are so dressed. It's a 3-piece. They'll come 5 minutes before. You tell them 10, they are there. You tell them 9, they are there. I said, no wonder they carry those positions. Tell somebody, tell a Christian, come to church at 10. He'll come. He'll come at 11. No wonder God does not honor you. How many listening right now? Say it, everyone. Lord, I will honor you. Lift your hands and say, Lord, I will honor you. I said, lift your hands and say, Lord, I will honor you. In the name of Jesus. The first tabernacle. Tell me, what's the first tabernacle? What's the first tabernacle? My body. That's why I cannot be in a... It cannot be Adam and Steve. Somebody missed it. I said Adam and Steve. How many of you are listening right now? Yes. Are you getting me right now? Yes. It has to be according to the word of God. Get out of it. If you're anything wrong, if you're in filth, I said hallelujah. There are people over here, you have got cigarettes in your pocket. Today, you got whatever in your pocket. Today, if you want to take it out, stand up right now for the glory of Jesus. Let's go and let's throw it out in the name of Jesus. I'm giving and counting till one count of three. One, two, three. Stand up, such people. If you got any liquor bottles at home, me? No. Maybe somebody. Today, you will make a decision. I'm counting to three. I want you to stand up right now. One, two, three. Do it right now. I thought I've come into heaven. Thank you, Lord. I want you to stand up. In our church, I do that. You know, one way to be delivered is to make an open confession. You don't need to speak. You need to just say, I'm that one. I open myself. And that will release the anointing of boldness. Somebody shout hallelujah. From today onwards, you are saying, I will never touch alcohol again in my life. Such people, stand up at the count of three. One, two, three. Stand up now. Begin to pray, somebody. Begin to pray. Stand up now. Stand up now. Stand up now. Only such people. From today onwards. See that? I'm waiting. That I want to pray for this. Say from today onwards, I will never smoke another cigarette in my life. Stand up right now. One, two, three. See, it's not church. It's an evangelistic thing. The last one. How many of you are saying that I will be connected to the house of God?